So we just told a bunch of testimonies, and these are testimonies that we get to do, but it's actually someone else that's doing them. And that's who we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight, our topic is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And all these stories that we just told was different ways that the Holy Spirit wants to work through human beings to do amazing things. So I would like to begin by asking you guys to tell me, when I say Holy Spirit, tell me some words that come to mind that you know about Him.
Comforter.
Comforter. I'm going to try to keep up, but comforter. Helper. Okay.
Advocate.
Advocate. What else? Somebody said guide. Guide.
Healer.
Healer.
Teacher. Counselor.
Omniscient and power. Hold on. Omniscient. Does everybody know what omniscient means? It means He knows everything. That means there's not any fact that He doesn't know, past, present, or future. Somebody said power. What else?
Breath of God.
Breath of God.
Sevenfold.
From Isaiah 11, all right.
He is the doer or worker of the Trinity.
Doer or worker of the Trinity. I like that. I'm going to come back to that. What else? What are some more words? Sense of humor? Yes, absolutely. Friend. Great.
Lives in us.
Let me take a moment on that. So the Holy Spirit, if I want to get one thing across tonight to you, is that the Holy Spirit should be thought of like a person, not a force. He's a person in the same way that God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, God the Holy Spirit is a person, meaning that you have conversations with Him. He's not just a force or some kind of smoke or mist or something like that. He's a person. Like, you can have conversations with Him. And when you become a Christian, when you believe in Jesus and you become born again, the Bible says that He takes up residence inside of you and lives there forever. So if you've believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is inside of you right now in your chair. All of this is inside of you right now in your chair. So take a look at that for a second. All of this is inside of you right now. Now, in the Old Testament, we see stories of the Holy Spirit coming on someone for a season, and then coming back off of them. So David would say a prayer. David in the Old Testament prayed this prayer: "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." There's actually a song that says that. "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. Take not away your Spirit from me, O Lord." But for us in the New Covenant, we don't have any business praying prayers like that. Because He lives in us. He doesn't come and go. There is no time during your day that the Holy Spirit is not with you. So if you go to the grocery store, the Holy Spirit goes to the grocery store. If you're watching TV, the Holy Spirit's watching TV with you. And He's supposed to be your best friend. Questions or comments on that?
And is it omnipresent?
He's omnipresent. You might know what that means.
He's
everywhere.
So he can be with all of us.
Well, that's why he can, so somehow He's able to be with all of us at the same time. This will mess your head up when you start thinking about how he knows the intimate details of every human being at the same time and is able to manage all that without getting tired or worn out. He's also, we have power up here, but I'm going to write this one, omnipotent. Omnipotent means all powerful. It means that he is, can always put out power and never have to replenish. He never has to take a seat and catch his breath. He doesn't have to take a nap. And if you need him, he doesn't have to tell you, wait 5 minutes, I'm dealing with somebody else. Any other words anybody wants me to put up here about the Holy Spirit?
He is fun.
Fun, great.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Love.
Love.
Wisdom.
Can someone turn to Isaiah 11 and read the first couple of... Dave, will you do that? I know you're the one that brought that one up.
Hey, Neil.
Yeah. Guide. I knew somebody had said that. This is Isaiah 11, sorry.
Starting in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord.
So can anyone in here look up at this board and identify for me, sometime the Holy Spirit has been one of these things for you personally? And if you don't mind, if you can share a little bit of details about that so that people can hear what that looks like. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit, he deals with individuals. So he's not like a formula for everybody. He works with you based on how you interact with him. He's very personal like that. Yes. Yep. So that's comforter and probably counselor. Some there too. Yes, Libby.
I'm not sure which one it would be. Real quick, way back in 1997, my mom had diagnosed with cancer and she's not saved. And in 1998, I was on the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit, and had never happened before, started just giving me all these things to write down. I just got out. Papers wrote all the stuff down, like 3 pages. Next morning, I rewrote it in neater writing, and I sent it to her. It was basically a letter that had scripture, the graces she's running. It was amazing, and she ended up accepting the Lord after reading the letter. That's a whole cool thing that happened, but it was not me at all. Anything I wrote.
So, what would you call that? Because that is some omniscience going on, knowing what she needs to hear. And he loves her.
Wisdom.
And wisdom.
Teacher,
yes.
We miss that spirit of truth that leads us to
truth, yes. Spirit of truth. Anyone else like to share a story about one of these? Yeah.
So this will directly address guide.
Okay.
I'd say probably about 2 months ago, I was just sitting down, I was reading Thoreau's Civil Disobedience, and I was sitting in my room, and an angel appeared before me and said, "You need to drive to your friend's Adam's house." I didn't argue with them. I went to my friend's Adam's house. So I immediately left, and he lives off of Cass Holt Road. And probably about 6 miles before I got to his house, I noticed the car had its hazard lights on. So I make a habit of trying to stop whenever I see a car with its hazard lights on, just to make sure people are okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I pulled up behind his car, it was his car.
It was Adam's car?
Yeah, it was Adam's car, about 6 miles from his house, and he had a flat tire. He didn't have a tire iron. He had a spare tire, but he had none of the parts that would facilitate changing it. So I did. I helped him change his tire. We went back home to his house, and we just started talking, and I told him how I came across him and under what circumstances I was driving Castle Road in the middle of the night. And, you know, I just sat down and I prayed with him. He got baptized at Oasis at our last baptism service.
Wow, wow, dude. I don't even know what to say to that. That's crazy. I would put that under fun also. So what did you come away from that thinking? Did you learn anything new about his character?
No, I guess I learned a previous lesson that might have been useful, which is don't argue with angels. So I kind of just did. I was obedient.
Okay.
I'd say that was a lesson in obedience.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Skip, you had something?
I was going to say, how do you say the word discern?
Discern. Okay. So he can help you know the right answer or help you know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
I have something small. So about a year ago, I shut my finger in the car door and I think I broke it and it healed wrong. And this past weekend, I was at a conference and I was worshiping and it started getting really hot. And I kind of forgot about it, but it started getting really hot and it was completely healed.
Wow. Just in your, out in the crowd. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think, did somebody say healer? Yeah. That's great. I love it. She said that shows how you don't need instructions. He can just come and do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I got one. I shared this, I guess, several months ago when my first or second time coming to this class. When I was in college, I was leading a Bible study. One of my college roommates came to it, and he was regular and came, well...
Can y'all hear him? Because I want this to be heard. This is a good... Okay, okay, cool. All right.
So, anyways, we had lived together for about a year and a half, and he came out as homosexual. And this was... He dumped his girlfriend and then came out this way. Well, he was in my Bible study and had been for about 2 years at that point. And so I was like, I don't believe that. Well, I finally got some wisdom from the Holy Spirit that it wasn't that. It was a demon that was causing him to think that he was that way. And it happened because of some abuse he had come up upon him when he was a kid.
Okay.
And so I asked him if I could pray healing over him. And he said, yes, but nothing, he told me. He said, yes, you can. He said, but don't expect anything to change. And so I prayed healing over him. And as soon as I got done praying, he never has even come close to acting the same way again. And he's got a wife and 2 children. And
now, how about that? That is awesome.
So. That's pretty good.
So what can we call for that?
I would say... Let's, gave me wisdom.
Okay.
And power.
Power.
And healing.
Yeah. Yes.
Deliver.
We don't have that on the board. Bill, you got one.
Deliver.
Well, one of the questions that came up on discern.
Yeah.
If you put that in with the 9 gifts.
Yep.
1 Corinthians 12:8-10.
That's actually where we're going next. So let's go there. Everybody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just hold your place there. I'm going to come back to this. We've got a couple of extra Bibles if anybody needs one. Anybody need a Bible? First Corinthians 12. While you're turning there, Chris had said he's the doer or the worker of the Trinity. So our God has revealed himself in Scripture to us as a God who's three in one, one in three. If you can figure that out, then you're doing better than I am. That's just very hard for our brain to think about. But we know that in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and Spirit, they're all equal. No, not one of them is higher in rank than the other. They love each other. They're in communion with each other. They work together. They're always in complete agreement. They're never arguing back and forth. They're all God. We worship them. We love them. They love us. Part of the reason we're created is because the fellowship that they enjoy together, they wanted to create a people that they could invite into that fellowship with them. That's one of the reasons we exist. But in the Trinity, even though they're all equal, they all play different roles in the lives of people. So they're all equal, but they all play different roles. Let me give you an example. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Nowhere in the Bible do we see that the Son sent the Father. The Father sent the Son. They don't perform the same role. The Father did the sending, and the Son came. But if you read in the beginning of Luke, you see that when the Son came, it was by the Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary and deposited him in her womb. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all work together. They always work together, but they perform different roles. So Chris said that the Holy Spirit is the doer or worker of the Trinity. In the Bible and in our life, any time you see something supernatural, miraculous, things like that, that's always the Holy Spirit that's doing that. That's His role. He brings the things of the unseen realm or kingdom of God into our tangible experience. So when God is speaking to you in your heart or in your mind or in your ear, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. When you get wisdom on where your passport is, April's not in here, but where something is, that's the Holy Spirit telling you or leading you there to find it. And part of Jesus calls him, when he calls him, one of the names he gives him is the Helper. His nature is to help us. He enjoys helping us. That's just part of his character, part of his nature. So one of the roles the Holy Spirit plays is that he brings the unseen realm of God into our tangible human experience. And we're going to see some of the ways he does that here in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin at verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So this is not what we're talking about, but you can see the Trinity is right there. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. So I want to focus on two words here in the gifts of the Spirit in this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that explain some things about how the Holy Spirit operates with us. Okay? The first one is the word that's translated gifts in verse 4. And I like to explain this by breaking down the Greek language for this word. So, there's a Greek word, charis or charis. Does anybody know what that means? That means grace. That's translated to English as grace or goodwill. What's that?
Charity.
Charity.
That's the root word for charity.
Yeah, okay. That's the root word for charity. Giving something to someone that doesn't deserve it. Grace means that you deserve something bad, but you're getting something good. You're not getting what's fair, you're getting something that you don't deserve, and it's good. It's not fair, it's grace.
Amen.
It's charis. Unmerited favor. Anybody heard that phrase before? So it cannot be grace if it's merited. If you earn, or if you are owed it, or if you have earned any portion of it, this word cannot be used. To the degree that you deserve it, to that exact degree, it is not grace. So if you don't deserve it, then you are eligible, you're a candidate for this. But if you do deserve it, then you can't receive it. Does that make sense? We don't have many things in our life that are like this. So it's hard to wrap our brain around this. So I want to give a kind of a silly example to explain this. Because sometimes we think of grace as just mercy. Like you're not getting what you deserve. Like you're getting off the hook. But it means more than that. Grace goes farther than that. Imagine that you're speeding. You're going 60 in a 35. And you get pulled over by a police officer. You're in the wrong. You've broken the law and you know it. And he walks up to your car and he says, "You know what? You can go." That's mercy. That means you deserved bad and you got off the hook. But that is not grace. Let's take that same situation. You're speeding. You're doing 60 in a 35. You get pulled over. You're in the wrong. You've broken the law. The officer comes up to the car and he says, "You can go, and by the way, here's $1,000. That's grace. Grace is getting good when you deserve bad. It's not just getting off the hook. Now, if we take that general word for grace and make it in a specific instance, the way you do that in Greek is you add the MA to the end, charisma. That means grace, unmerited favor, made specific in a certain situation. And this gets translated into English as the word gift. You're getting something good that you don't deserve. It's very important. I keep saying this, but I think this is because somebody here needs to hear this. You cannot deserve this. Trying to deserve it makes yourself ineligible for it. Now, if you want to take this word and make it plural, you add a TA on the end in Greek. Charismata. That's the word that gets translated gifts in verse 4 in your Bible. So these 9 things we're about to talk about are free gifts to people that do not deserve them.
Can I give an example?
Yes.
Pregnant outside of wedlock, different things, and I thought, I don't want to do that, and it was all crazy living and crazy stuff, and I thought, I'm not going to do that, no. And really, I thought, they don't deserve it, and that was my human mind, my flesh, not in the right place. I thought, no, I'm going to sell it. So I went to a consignment sale, labeled everything, 50 to 100 items. went in and went back after the sale was over to get my stuff, and my box was there full of things, and the lady in charge, she came up, she said, "We've never had this happen before." She said, "I'm sorry, nothing sold. None of your stuff sold." I was like, God, this is not funny. I was like, God, because it took hours to label everything and sign it. And so I got a hold of her, and I said, "I want to give you all the stuff," and I gave her everything. I said, "There, God, I gave it to you." But it was, I didn't want to give her the free gift. I didn't want to do it, but God wanted her to have it. It was unmerited. It was undeserved. And I gave it all to her, and that's never happened since. But the lady's like, "Yeah, we've never seen this before." She said, "I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. You know, your stuff's good. I don't know. Because God told me to do something different, and I didn't."
That's that. That's human. As human beings, we have a problem with this idea because it doesn't seem right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have a question. So the English word charisma.
Charisma is the word gift.
Well, you know how they'll say somebody's got charisma in English. That does that.
That's not a that word has evolved to mean that. Yeah, but that's not the original meaning.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Yeah. One, the biggest example of grace that we all know of is John 3:16. God looked down at a world that was against Him, that had rejected Him, and He loved them so much that He sent His Son to die for these people that hated Him. These people deserve to burn, and He comes and gives them eternal life, free. That's this. That's what that looks like. Okay, the other word I want to talk about, it's in verse 7. It's the word manifestation. Manifestation. What does that mean?
It means to bring about into existence.
To bring up. That's good, man. That's good.
That's Webster's Dictionary, 2009.
All right. Well done. To bring about into existence, or to make something that's intangible tangible. Another way to think about this is to make something become detectable to your senses. To become detectable to your senses. That's what this word means. The Greek word is a picture of bringing something out from behind a curtain that you, so now you can see it. Like it was hidden before and now it's visible. But think of that not just with sight, with tangible feeling on your body, or something, a tangible thought in your mind, or a tangible sound. Something that you can experience with your natural senses. So these nine things that we just read about, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, all those things, these are free gifts, and they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit, when you see someone's knee get healed, what you just saw was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You saw the Holy Spirit make Himself tangible in your presence. He just healed somebody's knee and you got to experience that. So if you like to picture things, you can picture Him coming up there and touching their knee and making it better. I mean, He's the one that did it. Isn't that cool? So a way to think about this... This helps me. I'm going to draw a diagram that's not technically accurate, but it helps me illustrate the point. So this is God, the Holy Spirit, and this is you. And this is another person. I'm going to say him. That's somebody else. Now, the part about this that's not accurate is God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. But I can't draw this with Him inside of you. So... The gifts of the Spirit happen when God the Holy Spirit wants to do something for this person over here, and He chooses to do it through you. So He gives you a gift, and you hopefully hear Him or know it's Him and make a decision to act on it. And when you do, the other person receives something from God through you. It's like you were hired as a delivery service. It's like you were hired as a delivery service. Meaning that you don't have to generate this. It doesn't come from you. It's not a skill. It's not an ability you have. God wants to do something for someone, and he just picks you to do it. Isn't that exciting? And all nine of these gifts, yes. Yes, he's the one doing the signs and wonders. Yes, it is. When you see signs and wonders, you're seeing the Holy Spirit here tangibly. That's very exciting when you think about it like that. And when you think about it this way, there's no chance to idolize certain people that operate in certain gifts.
Right.
Because it's not them that's doing the awesome stuff, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit. And so it's so fun when he starts doing stuff to see what he's doing. Because he knows so much more than we do, and he knows how to do things that we would never think of. Who would think of going into the room with a man in the coma and blowing on his face and saying, "You're going to get up and tell your wife you love her"? That does not make any sense. Who would think of spitting in the mud and rubbing it in a man's eyes and telling him to go wash off, and that's how he's going to get healed from blindness? That makes no sense. Right? So I want to give you some examples of some of these gifts in the Bible so you can see the Holy Spirit in operation in ways that you may not always know it's Him. So a word of knowledge. The Greek for that is, the Greek word for word is logos. It's a message. So a word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit is giving you a message containing knowledge. He's giving you some facts that are going to mean something to the person you're sharing that with. So in the Bible, we see Jesus when he comes to the woman at the well. Everyone familiar with this story? This is in John 4 if you want to read it. But he begins talking to her and he says, "Go and tell your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right when you say you don't have a husband, because you've had five husbands and the one you're living with now, you're not married to him." How did he know that? It was a word of knowledge. Now, we know from this story that wasn't to condemn her. It ended up in her salvation. And not only her salvation, but the whole village. But if you're standing there talking to someone and the Holy Spirit tells you to say something like that, right, I like that face because that's the same face I would make. What? But you don't know the future. See, he knows what that person needs to hear. And that's not always what makes sense to you. That's why he's God and we're not. Yeah.
Just Jesus going to that well was probably a word of knowledge because no one would have typically been there at that time.
So that was word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is usually informative. It usually gives information. It's usually about something that's already true. If you're here on a Sunday and Brian gets up and he says, "There's someone in here, something's wrong with their ear." Anybody ever heard him do that? That's the word of knowledge in operation. The Holy Spirit has told Brian, "I want to heal somebody's ear." And so Brian gets up and says, "There's someone in here with something wrong with your ear, and God wants to heal your ear." That's a word of knowledge. Another one is the word of wisdom. So we said the word of knowledge is normally informative. Very often the word of wisdom is instructive rather than informative. It may include instructions. It may say, "Go wash in the Jordan seven times and you'll be healed from your leprosy." Teresa was healed because a word of wisdom. When someone was praying for her, he saw a vision of her walking out down the street, up the hill, and touching a set of mailboxes. And coming back, even though that was 10 times farther than she was physically able to walk because she was in a wheelchair. And so she got up and walked to the mailbox and came back totally healed from fibromyalgia.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow
is right.
Yes,
God is good.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Now, who would have thought going and touching the mailbox? And I can tell you, if I'm in that situation in front of a person in a wheelchair and I say, go walk to Harris Teeter, I'm going to, you've got to be like.
Exactly.
Now, when you read stories in the Bible of people standing up and doing these things, they have that same issue.
Yeah. Right.
They all have to deal with, this doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to do it. Were you going to say something? Okay. Word of wisdom also is a like a mustard seed of God's wisdom. Like a small little ounce of His wisdom. Something about His plan for the future. So in the Bible, when you see someone saying about the future, that's a word of wisdom. That's something about God's plan. Like the book of Revelation has a lot of word of wisdom in it. It's God giving someone information about something that hasn't happened yet. Something about the future. Yes?
Can you compare and contrast versus prophecy?
Okay, we'll do prophecy next. Prophecy in the Greek means to speak under divine influence. That's the definition of the word. It means that you are going to say something out of your mouth and God's power is going to be on your words. And you're saying what He would say if He was standing there. That may include information about the future, about the past, or about anything. You may... So, here's a helpful thing. This is a good question. Don't think of the gifts of the Spirit like a bunch of separate boxes. Think of them more like a rainbow, where the color is kind of... It's hard to tell if it's really chartreuse. Is that a color? So, well, I don't know why that one popped into my head, but... It was right. So you can't tell. The important part is not to know what label to put on each one. The important part is God just did something through me or in front of me. So prophecy, I'll give you one of the most intent. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
I'll give you an example of prophecy. Susan. About 15 minutes ago, the Lord said that one of the gifts that you'd be working in is the working of miracles. I think she's been praying about that.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the Lord's going to use her in the working of miracles. This young man in the front here.
Jared,
you have an inventor's mind inside of you. Is this true? Huh?
Yeah.
And we have never met.
Yeah, you met him, son.
Oh, whatever. Oh, and when it comes to a place where the Lord is going to do some creative stuff in you, you're to ask Him, you're to invite Him in on the invention. You're built to invent. You're creative. But what will happen, what you got to watch out for, is you don't, you make sure that you bring Him in on the invention because that's part of the gift that He's given in your life. Is that true? You'll find out. This young lady here, I saw you up and in a plane flying around the world. Have you been, is that part of what you feel the Lord is doing in you? Huh? Isn't it wonderful? You've never met me, have you? So, and there's no way that I know anything about you. I don't know if you've been wondering about that. But basically, I hear the word relax for you. It's already done. He's just going to show you where you go. And don't... oh, this is cool. So he's talking to me now. This is how the prophetic works. Because we got to be going. I wanted to make sure. But part of what you... he doesn't want you to start planning where you're going. I see some conflict in that. Because sometimes you have such a passion to go. I also see little children running around your feet. Does that make sense to you? It should. And so the little children are always, to me, in a prophetic symbol. The little children are always... Anybody got a tissue for this?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
All that's taken care of. So what he doesn't want you to do, he wants you to go home and he wants you to write this on your board somewhere where you can see it. Don't worry. Stop playing.
That's awesome.
Don't worry. Stop playing. Amen?
Amen.
That's an example of prophecy. Now, just can I throw one in here and I gotta go. This is and one of the great things that will come out of this church is you'll get to experience more the ministry of the prophet, which is one of the five equipping ministries. One of the things about prophecy, when you start speaking for God, is part of the word of knowledge or whatever He's doing in that. And he described it perfectly. It's hard to... We're very good at compartmentalizing God. But one of the things you have to watch out for is that you don't do that. It's a flow. So the Lord may speak to some of you and they say, well, go up and say something to this person. So basically what he's doing is see if you'll go up there. And I call it what's behind the door. And what's behind the door is once you go and you turn the knob of the door, there may be more information. You all good with me? You all know what you're talking about? So don't think that when you approach somebody that when you walk up to them, you have to have all the information. Even just the step of going from here to here will do that. And then whatever God wants to download into your mind, He'll download it. You won't hear any choirs. He'll put His thought in your mind and make it your thought. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. So this isn't a mystic thing. This is, you'll think like God at the moment He's using you. And that's true for the other stuff that we got to
do. Thank you all. Yeah. Yeah. Well, see y'all later. See, yeah.
And he's a great teacher.
Thank you. Thank you. So, whoever asked the question about prophecy, thank you. That was cool. Because the Holy Spirit just answered that for us. Now, see, think about this. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to help people or tell people something that's going to help them or whatever. Because that's how He is. He's awesome. He is so awesome. And He's not something to be afraid of or think is weird. This is not weird. This is amazing. The fact that God would come and talk to us, that He cares about us. I mean, that just never gets old. Yes. Okay.
And my daughter was prophesied over and by the actual guest speaker.
Okay.
Which was a pastor, some pastor in California somewhere. And this was in New Mexico.
Okay.
And he prophesied, basically pointed her out, called her by name, didn't ever met her, didn't know her, and just told her that. That she was going to, her life was set. It was set. And she was a woman of this generation. And she was going to have a God-fearing husband. And she was going to be a wonderful mother. And at that time in her life, she was struggling with a boyfriend she had in college.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That God basically told her, you need to let him go. So she had to do that. She did that. But she's married. She's married to a youth pastor, so she's a pastor's wife. And she's she has my grandbabies. So, you know, but she was like in awe, and I think pretty much the youth that she was involved in, she'd never been turned around, looked at her.
You're right.
She was like, me, because he was up on the stage. So, but yeah, I mean, they recorded it and everything.
That's awesome.
That you need to record and stuff. So, yeah. And she got home excited. She said, I don't know what all this means. And I said, well, what means that you need to go in your room and pray about that?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, things are going to start happening.
Yep. So something about prophecy is that when God has someone say something for him, it's their words coming out of their mouth, but it's got his power on it. And the power that's on those words when they hit the listener include power to accomplish whatever he just said. It's like he's kicking it off and making it begin to function. Like he will have, like in the Bible, he'll have his prophet speak to something in order to make something happen. And the speaking, the word, is one of the things that kick off the events. Yes?
I just want to add just a little side note. We've had a lot of people pray over us, and the Lord's given us words of knowledge and prophecy and things like that. And so what we do is, like, we have a notebook, and we just write all these things in there over the years. And it's, you know, it's really encouraging. When you're having a hard day, just to go back and read through these things, there's always something that. So anyway, it's good to write down what you know what was said over you and
yes.
about it. You don't have to receive whatever's spoken, but you can write that down and see the Lord work.
That's very good advice. Very good advice. And if someone says something to you and you're in the moment and you can't remember what it is, when you get home, just by faith, take a pencil and a piece of paper and say, Lord, just bring back what I need to remember. And just write down whatever he tells you right there. Because he told it to you. He wants you to, it's yours. You had, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, too, it kind of, she just slightly mentioned it. But also, when somebody speaks something, it's going to make sense to you. Just like, I mean, it can, and it, like, you know.
It will, normally it will confirm, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not equal to God's voice to us personally. It's not equal to the written scripture, but it won't contradict it. And if there's something you don't understand, you can just go, well, I don't know about that. So you put it on the back burner, and if it comes to pass, it was God. If it wasn't, it wasn't. I mean, because people can make mistakes.
Yes.
And so on and so forth.
So I'm going to get to you in a second, but I want to tag on to that. So when someone gives you a word like this, okay, now, in here, we have an environment where it's okay to practice, and we're all learning how to cooperate with God, and we all understand that. And if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world, okay? We all make mistakes. We all learn by getting it right sometimes and getting it wrong sometimes. We're all learning how to hear from God. And that's on the part of the one giving the word. Now, on the part of the one receiving it, you have some responsibility also. And let me clarify what I mean by that. If it's a word from the Lord, normally it's going to confirm something that's already in your heart. Like if he had gotten up and said, Neil, I see you moving to Alaska and living in an igloo, I would say, that's not from the Lord. But, yeah. I rebuke that. Maui, right, Maui.
What was one of the things on there? Sense of humor?
Yeah, sense of humor.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Man. You just watch. You'll be in a hiccup.
I reject that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that prophecy will bring edification, which means strengthening, personal strengthening, exhortation, or another way to say is encouragement or to spur you on, and comfort. To make you feel better about whatever you've been worrying about. Or whatever has been concerning to you. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, towards the beginning of the chapter. Now, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, just to encourage people to ask the Lord to give you these gifts, because I know that it can change people's lives. Something like receiving a marriage, which could be a solution to health.
Yes. So all of these ways that the Holy Spirit cooperates with you, I can't say always, but almost always is going to require you to take a step not being sure about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If this seems like it's the Lord, I'm going to step out here and see if the water holds me up. Stepping out of the boat.
But you're talking about giving a word.
I'm talking about giving a word. I'm talking about a word of knowledge, prophecy.
When somebody gives you a word, you don't have to work that. You don't
have
to do anything.
Yeah, so thank you for clarifying that. So I'm talking about when this is happening where you're God's going to have you give something to someone else on his behalf. Yes.
It was Veterans Day or something. He had asked all the veterans to stand up, but we were in worship. I can't remember. I just know that she said that I was standing up. And she said that she came up to me after church. At this point, we still had never met. I think I knew of her. And she just said that she saw like the word favor above my head, like sparkly letters or something like that. I mean, still to this day, I don't know what that means. But I mean, that's just kind of like an example of like the word of knowledge or wisdom.
And so I think maybe you had said, but so when something comes to you and you're not sure about it, the way I do this, as I say, Father, I don't know what this means, and I just hang on to it. And then you'll find out 14 years from now, something's going to happen, and that's going to pop back in your head like, man, yeah.
Can I ask you something really quick?
Yeah.
Last Christmas, Bill Alsop was at one of the...
Yeah. And see, you're excited about that, right? Yes, very excited. God's will, I'm covering a lot of areas, but God's will for your life is going to be exciting to you. It's going to be fun. The thing that he's called you to, he's made you for that, and you're going to enjoy it. I'm not saying every detail's easy, but you're going to enjoy it, and you'll have energy to fight through whatever it takes to get there. Now, you had something you were... Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be something that's all like God's, you know, it just might be, you know, God's word says, do not fear, blah, blah, whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, that happens to me a lot where I have a scripture that I know will be brought to my mind when I'm praying for somebody and I know that that's applicable
mm-hmm.
to the situation. So just kind of,
right.
For people that might be like, well, God never talks to me in a prophecy, it doesn't have to be something that's totally never heard before.
Right.
I had like in 2000. Well, wait a minute. In August 2008, I took a trip here.
Uh huh.
But I think I was gonna be hitting that hurricane that was gonna be here. I had so many people calling me. God put it in my heart to tell you not to get on that plane. I mean, so my dog and I would take walks up and down the mountain. Just saying, Lord, if this is not of you, or you don't want me to go, then you are going to tell me what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the last call was from my boss saying, I need to make a really good impression on you. I really think we need to reschedule this. And I told her, you know, I spent a lot of time in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and my God didn't tell me this wasn't going to happen. My God told me this is going to happen. I'm going to get on that plane. And sure enough, I got on that plane, and she said that it was pouring when they were on the way to the airport to pick me up here in Raleigh. But as soon as they hit that airport, that rain stopped. And that pilot told us on the plane, for some odd reason, that rain has stopped.
Wow.
So I landed. I had sunny days that weekend. I got on that plane that Monday, and she called me, and she said, it was pouring on Monday. So she said,
there you
that
go.
Hurricane
yep.
is coming. And I said, well, you know, and that's why, you know, when people call you and when they tell you, you know, God told me that you're not supposed to get on that plane. And I'm like, well.
Right. If I don't have peace about that, then I'm going to have to take that back to the Lord and ask him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But if someone says something to me that I've been praying about for 4 years, I mean, that's awesome. Yes. And you don't have to, I mean,
right.
That's settled. Yeah, man.
So God is so good. I mean, has anyone ever heard the phrase, there are no coincidences in the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
So that definitely applies to the night. So first off, I didn't know what this class was going to be about. Second off, I didn't know who would be attending. This is going to make a lot of sense to you, Neil.
Okay.
So you were talking about how you keep a notebook filled with things people have prophesied mm-hmm. over you. And so basically this week I found that notebook that pertained to the probably about a year that we went over to Barclay
yeah.
Brown's house
yeah.
with Bill and Laura and Chris, who are sitting directly behind me.
Yeah.
Remember when I said I was going to talk to you today
after yeah.
class? I was going to talk to you to go get Bill's info. Because I wanted to contact him. Like,
that's crazy.
And not only that, but a lot of the stuff we prayed about and a lot of the stuff we talked about all the way back then, I mean, I was probably 16 or 17 at that time. You know, I was just sitting down this week and I was praying to God, you know, God, like, I used to be so passionate about your word that I had chapters of the Bible memorized. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to love your word. Like, where did I, you know, I had a period where I kind of walked away from God for a while. And so I was sitting there thinking, you know, how can I reinvigorate, like, my passion for God, you know,
mm-hmm.
back to that point and even better. And so the fact that Laura and Chris are sitting behind me, I mean, I literally was reading 4 hours ago about how you were writing your book and the night that we prophesied over that. And uh-huh. just all the Bible verses started to come back to my mind. Man, God is so good.
He is, man.
I just had my socks blown off. That was just, I mean, people always say there's no coincidences in the kingdom of God, but like six coincidences in one night's really
cool. That's awesome.
That is awesome, Paul.
And you still got 20 minutes?
So, I'm going to tell a couple of, we're bragging on the Holy Spirit is what we're doing right now. And I know that when I was learning, when someone would tell me stories, I could learn about how they interacted with them. That was always very helpful to me. To know, like, I heard this, but I wasn't sure, but I did anyway, and it turned out, or whatever. So, about 2.5 years ago, well, I had been going around teaching little small Bible studies. And the way I would teach was, I would study my topic. I would pray, and God would give me a topic. Then I would study my topic, and I would study and research like 10 miles around that subject to make sure I could answer any question that came, because that's how my brain works. And then I would have an outline, and I would show up, and I would do my thing and teach, and it was great fun for me. And then I stopped getting the outlines. God stopped giving me the topic, but I still had to go to the Bible study and teach. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to come up with something. And it was lame. And nobody would say that, but I could tell walking out of there, like, that wasn't...
You were definitely... Don't say that.
So then I'm struggling, like, God, what's wrong here? And so I go and have lunch with... So that's my friend Bill that was back there. We're having lunch one day, and he said, God's changing the way you teach. Now, he didn't know this stuff was going on. He said, God's changing how you teach, and you need to stop making outlines. And I was like, whew. Like, I thought, man, you know what? This helps make sense. But then, like, wait a minute.
No.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So I had to start showing up without any notes, without knowing what the heck I'm going to talk about. That was about 2.5 years ago when that started. Maybe longer. So every week when I come in here, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't have notes. I don't have the scriptures ready. I don't. We've been doing this class for 2 years. I haven't prepared one time. And when I get up, because I trust him to tell me where to go. And so tonight, I knew that we were supposed to do this. Because I saw this in my mind. I saw this. I saw asking everybody about him. But I didn't know the rest of it. And so we're writing all this up here, and he says, that's what's inside of all of them. And like he's teaching us about himself. And so then I knew, okay, when someone gave me the word discern, we're going to go to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And right then, Bill says, why don't we talk about the gifts of the Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit's in here helping me know that I'm on the right track. And he does that so much you guys don't even know. And it's amazing to cooperate with this God, who even in our fumbling around makes awesome things happen. So one day, on a Wednesday morning, I was thinking, this thought came to me of asking people to write questions down at the beginning of class, but don't tell me what they are. And then during the class, we'll see if they get answered. Okay? Without me knowing what the questions are. And then I get here and I forget to do that. And I'm teaching, and then Libby says, you just answered this question I wrote across the top of my notebook.
I remember that.
Wow. So, you don't even have to know what you're doing. Or you can forget.
So he's fun.
He's very fun. Yeah.
I mean, we see in the Bible that Jesus himself didn't even have to know what was going on for the Holy Spirit to act through him. The woman who had been afflicted with bleeding for however many years just had to go up and touch his robe. Jesus had no idea she was there until he felt the power flow out through him.
Yep.
So you can be doing something completely asinine and unaware and have the Holy Spirit be working through you.
Exactly. Yes.
I thought it was cool how you said there were like flip charts.
Yeah. So sometimes when I'm just explaining how he works with me. Now, this may be true for some of you or maybe not. It's different for everybody. But sometimes he'll show me, like at the beginning of the class, he'll show me a picture I need to draw. And I get up here and start talking, and we get into where that picture is going to come in, and I draw it, and it produces whatever effect he wants. Sometimes he says, start with this and end with this, but he doesn't give me anything in between. And we just start, and we end up there. And sometimes it's like he's standing behind me with flip cards telling me where the Bible verses are to go to next. Now, yeah.
And it's really cool. God has something special for all of you the same way. It's like, you know, your own special little gift that he wants to use you and you're going to love. And it was really funny before this started, Neil told me, I want to buy a whiteboard. I was like, what? Why do you want to buy a whiteboard? He says, I don't know. I just want one. Isn't that weird? That's so weird.
It's okay. So that's weird. That's
and
weird.
So he's like, I think I might use it to teach one day. I mean, it's just, God is amazing. It's just like little baby steps. He's going to carry you the whole way. Neil was not like this before. I mean, I just am saying, like, he never knew Bible verses until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. He couldn't quote any verses. Like, I was sick and I would be like, Neil, can you just tell me some Bible verses? And so I'm just saying, like, he studied the Bible, but he didn't know Bible verses. And the Holy Spirit brought them all out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a... And he was very shy. Mm-hmm. And for standing up and teaching, he's very, very, it's a miracle watching the Holy Spirit change our lives. I was very, very, very shy. I was afraid of people. I would be in, like, the corner, and now I'm just, like, a different person. And so I just want to encourage all of you, just this journey of being friends with the Holy Spirit, and he changes you. You're not having to go, we never dreamed we would be here teaching people and getting to see people healed and all kinds of things. And so it's just so cool. He was just really afraid to talk and like teach. And now God is just blessing us in so many ways. So I just encourage you all have something and just fuel that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to change.
Yes.
I kind of got this... I don't know. Had this feeling of being in class, and just what she said kind of brought it back to me. And I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit wanting me to say this or not, but let me say it.
Okay.
I feel like somebody in here is struggling with, like, they're hearing all of this and they're like, well, I don't ever hear the Holy Spirit. And so it's like frustrating because you hear people prophesying in class and all these people that they feel like the Lord has spoken through, and you're getting frustrated because you feel like you can't hear that. And it reminds me of a sermon that we listened to in Bible study one Friday night. And it's like this. The more you talk to somebody, the more you learn to hear their voice. Kind of like like your parents or something. If you're standing in a room and there's somebody that you really know, they can be completely across the room and they'll say something and you'll know exactly who it was saying that because you know them. Because you've talked to them so many times in your life that you hear and understand their voice. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. The more you talk to Him and the more you conversate with Him, you learn to hear His voice and distinguish it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like somebody needs to.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. So that's a great question. So let's talk about for a minute. We got a few minutes left. Different ways that the Holy Spirit talks to us. So, yeah.
So, I'm that person. I don't hear from God at all.
Except like an angel standing in front of you.
Yeah. You know, it sounds kind of funny to that the person who, like, has angels show up to him doesn't hear from God. But, like, God has to get my attention that way because I don't hear from him. Well, I mean, it's probably that I don't listen to him or that, you know, I don't communicate with him enough to know his voice to the point where,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's got to send angels to do his dirty work. when I pray and when I communicate with the Holy Spirit, all I do is I simply have a conversation out loud as if somebody were sitting beside me.
Yep.
And you know what? I'll be tuggered if an angel doesn't show up about 7 out of 10 times and tell me what to do. Or something will happen. I've had road signs, of all things, road signs tell me what to do.
But when the angel showed up to you,
like
visually,
yes, like a physical being with wings and eyes that burn like fire physically shows up.
Yes. Okay, that's a great. I want to address that, and then I've got two people that want to say something, or three. Okay, I want to let everybody have an opportunity.
Well, I want to share with you my experience. I have a very active mind also, and because I'm an engineer, so my mind is always going, and I'm always figuring stuff out and so forth and so on. And I used to be, when I commuted back and forth to work, that was the best time for me to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit, because I could sit in the car and I could talk and I could hear. Now, the way that conversation worked was I did most of the talking. But then in the midst of all, you know, because I would be going through all the thoughts that were going through my mind, you know, well, this leads to this, it leads to that, and what about these people, what about that, and what about this? And every once in a while, in the midst of all of that churning in my mind, the Holy Spirit would drop in but what about that? And it would kind of start to redirect my thoughts. And I go, then this, and then that, and then another question would drop in. What about this? Or what if this? And these little subtle little things that would cause my mind to go off that way or this way. And I finally started to identify that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, taking me in the direction that those thoughts needed to go. And I would eventually come to the conclusion that the Lord would want me to come to on whatever the topic was. Okay, this is how we used to talk. But then, and that went on for a long time. But then I started to understand, I started to recognize, because I would be in my house, and my mind would be going or something like that, and I would get this subtle, you need to do this, or this subtle, you should watch out for that. And I wouldn't necessarily pay attention to it at first, but then something would happen, and I was like, well, wait a minute, That is what I heard over here. And then I started to recognize that, in fact, the Holy Spirit and I were in conversation all the time. I could always hear His voice if I was just willing to slow down a little bit and pay close attention to those, that like echo, that shadow.
That is awesome.
That was in my mind. And so I started to listen to it more. And when I heard that, well, you should do this or you better do that. These days, I was painting or something here recently, and I heard this. It's like, you need to go take care of this. And I was in the middle of all that. I didn't want to do it, but I was like, yeah, okay, Holy Spirit, out of obedience, I will go do it. And I stopped what I was doing. I have learned and come to that point now where I can identify and go, okay, I know that that's the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I need to listen. And so what I honestly have discovered is that He's talking to us all the time.
Yes.
All the time. It's just a matter of us maturing into a place where we can hear Him and be sensitive to what He's saying and how He's saying it to us. I have heard an audible voice a few times. But that's not normally how it works. It's just a feeling. And sometimes I hear it in my own voice. It's like your own voice going off your head. When, especially when I was having those conversations in the car and those thoughts would drop in, it's like me talking to me, but it wasn't me. So hopefully that all helps.
That's very good. That's very good.
Back that up. Isaiah 30, starting at 20. The Lord will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether from the, to the left or to the right.
Very good. That was Isaiah 30, 20. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like 25 minutes ago, I was sitting here, and then I just started writing my notebook as an answer to that question. But 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 16 are talking about how when we are saved, we are given the mind of Christ. So we begin to think like Him. And because we have Christ's mind, and because we begin to think like Him, the thoughts that sometimes we're like, oh, well, you know, that's probably just one of my thoughts. It can be both your thought and Christ's thought because you've been given His mind. So you'll think like Him.
That's cool.
And yeah.
That's cool, man. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. The opportunity to pray for deliverance comes to us, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, be used as a servant to change
yep.
other people's lives, and then we see the miraculous take place only through that.
So, on to what she said. when we talked about manifestations of the Spirit, these happen when you're in a place where someone needs something from God. That's when you're likely to have Him want to give them something and pick you to do it.
He does all of that.
He does all of it out of love, yes. I wanted to say another, like an exercise you can do if you want a practical way to practice hearing God's voice, is to sit down with a piece of paper. This is not a formula, but this is just one way to practice. And say, Father, would you like to say anything to me? And then any thoughts that come to your mind, just write them all down, whether you think it's from God or not. Okay? Just write down anything that's coming. Don't worry about whether it's right or not. And then when you get through, you can go back through it and look at it and see, well, that's from God. That's not biblical, or this is just me. And that's a way you can begin to learn. Because the way He speaks to us, like Chris was talking about, sometimes it sounds like your own, for me, most of the time, it sounds like my own thoughts. But then I realize that there's no way I could have known this.
And
Teresa.
You can kind of analyze what it is, and if like you feel like, you know, God's saying, or you feel like you heard something like, go pray for that person. Well, that's really good. That sounds like God. So you can just test it out. Go try it out.
Yeah.
That's not something that would be harmful.